Hi, I'm Rick Bennett, host of Gospel Tangents. I need your help. Please donate on our website, gospeltangents.com, and click on the donate button. It can be a one-time donation or a recurring donation. Your donation will help us to create better resources to learn more about Mormon history. So far, it's been a labor of love, but I really need some help getting better equipment, better sound, that sort of thing. So please either commit to a recurring donation or a one-time donation. We'll take any help we can get. Thank you for your help. Hey, everybody. I wanted to remind you about our contest. Please sign up by July 24th, 2017. Actually, sign up the day before that because that's the day we're holding the drawing. You could win this book. I was at Benchmark Books this week to pick it up. This is it. Notice it still has the plastic on it. Brand new book. I had to get another one. This one doesn't have the shrink wrap on it. This one's mine. But this is what it looks like. It's a really cool book. Kurt Bench wrote the introduction. He's the guy I interviewed a few weeks ago. We've teamed up with Benchmark Books. To get this book, the one with the shrink wrap, all you need to do is, well, actually, you need to be the winner of our drawing. But to be in the contest, just sign up at gospeltangents.com/newsletter. And you could win this really cool book. It was selling for $175 on Amazon just a few weeks ago, even higher on Abe Books. So check it out. It's a cool book. We're continuing our conversation with David Rosenvall. He's the guy who came up with the idea that the Book of Mormon lands may have occurred in the Baja Peninsula. I've also asked him to critique John L. Sorensen's theory. Sorensen has the dominant theory where the Book of Mormon took place in Central America. I'll ask David to critique John's theory. Well, this is actually one of my favorite topics. I know some people think that this is pseudoscience and that sort of thing, but you know, I've looked at different theories. Sorensen's theory in Central America seems to be the best. Maybe I should just ask you. You know, I would expect by now, Sorensen's kind of the bigwig when it comes to Book of Mormon geography. You know, why? What do you think he's doing wrong, or you know, why is this?
I wouldn't say he's doing anything wrong. A few months after we got into this, we were trying to find anyone who might have stumbled upon Baja at the same time, and we didn't. But we did stumble upon a lot of theories, and Sorensen's one of them, and there's many. And I just want to say, I stand on the shoulders of great people who have done great work, and we want them to continue. Let me explain our approach, which might then answer why we think the other approaches may not work. I'm an engineer by background. I'm a computer integrated manufacturing mechanical engineer, which is kind of a crazy robotics thing. But when I was trained, one of the big things we do is we take observations, we model observations, and then we test the observation. That's just an engineering type of process. And when we looked at this and all the different theories that had taken, you know, been proposed up to this point, one of the things we learned is most of the current theories were based on opinions that you can go back to the 1830s, the 1840s, 1850s, where they had taken the hemispheric model, if you will, you know, and some said it's in New York and it's in the Panama area, all the way down into South America, Peru, and Chile. And so all of those theories, you can put a pin on it and attribute it to somebody back in 1800s. I think it was about Sorensen's time that they started to realize this isn't a hemispheric model. This is more limited geography. This is smaller. And different camps kind of took the Camorra area and made that their base. Some took the Mesoamerica and that was their base. Some took Chile and Peru and that was their base. All of them can be traced back, though, to very early opinions. And they, you know, looking for artifacts and so forth. That was how most, if you go back, you can tie almost every theory to early statements. We asked ourselves, what if we just received the Book of Mormon last Saturday? How would we approach this? And given all the internet and everything we have now, I think we would seek out more scientific approach than what I would call an opinion-based approach. And so that's the approach we took. We said, let's just take the text as it is from the beginning and just go through highlight text and then go and make models around it, and then go test it. Read the text, make models, go test it. And that approach is how we've done it. Whereas the other approach is, they're trying to apply science to it, and they're getting kind of stuck in a few places. But I think it's the genesis of how each model started. One was very based on historical opinions, and ours is completely out of the box, new. But I wouldn't call them wrong. I don't think there's enough in the text that one could say right or wrong. I think it's really just testing models at the end of the day that people are going to have to use. So.
Okay. So let's go to Central America. That seems to be kind of the dominant theory right now. What are some things that you like about his theory, and what are some things that you think that there are problems with it?
So as a geographer, one of the things you do is you classify information. And I think when you go through the text, there's actually 33,000 geographical statements, if you include people's names, places, everything. If you take all of those, you can kind of put them into physical geography and human geography, okay? So for example, the boundaries of a land is going to be a human geography. Artifacts and buildings, that's going to be human geography, very cultural type of things. Oceans, seas, mountains, hills, that's physical geography. One of the things that I think the Mesoamerican models do is they focus very much on the human geography. And I think they've done a really good job at identifying things in Mesoamerica that can be tied back to the Book of Mormon culturally. Language, perhaps, structures, some of those type of things. And where they get in trouble is when they try to place the physical geography on top of that. Things start turning sideways, distances and so forth get all sideways.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because to me that's one of the biggest problems is, you know, when you think of North and South America, well, North and South makes a lot of sense, but when you get to Mesoamerica, the narrow neck of land is actually situated east and west. It's not north and south.
Yeah, so the orientation is a problem. So one thing we do in the text is we assume it was given to us by the gift and power of God. We don't need to retranslate it. If it says east, it's east. If it's west, it's west. If the sword's rusted, they are made of steel. Animals are the animals stayed and so forth. When you get into some of the other geographies, you're having to rotate things and stretch distances, and that's okay. Let them work that out. But our model is, what does the text say, and apply it using the science we know today, and find a location that can fit. So that's the basis. That's it. Use the text and use science to try to redo that.
And I know Sorensen says the same thing: use the text, use science. So. And we do have to make that. But would you say that's the biggest weakness for Sorensen is that he goes with an east-west orientation instead of north-south?
Well, again, if you don't have the right location and you try to fit it in, that's a problem, right? Square pegs, round holes. And so if you start from a cultural standpoint, you're going to end up in places like he has. If you start with a geography standpoint, distances, hills, valleys, climate, all those things, you're going to start where we are. And many are going to claim, you know, hey, we don't have the big pyramids, we don't have the ruins and all those sorts of things in Baja. The first answer, we haven't looked, no archaeology has really been done down there. But the text itself doesn't even talk about large monumental structures. In fact, the only thing made of stone that we can read in the text is a stone wall. So, again, I think the Mesoamerican model, great effort, but I think their basis was in cultural things. I think it was based on historical opinions. And now they're just trying to triangulate all those. And just all they're left in their minds, they've got to get the geography to fit. But the other thing's there. Let me say this too, is the Book of Mormon, remember, is a group of people that move over time, all the way from Jerusalem to wherever they landed, small family, that family kept moving from the text, from north to south. They had a huge battle at the end, and their descendants had to go somewhere. And where they went, they take their culture. And so as you look at cultural things, you will often find where the descendants went. The best example I can probably give of this is the children of Israel starting, you know, down in Egypt, moving to Israel after Christ's death and so forth. Those Jewish people still took their culture and spread through Europe and Russia. And even today, we see the evidence of the Jews in Russia and Germany and so forth. But we wouldn't want to say that because I found a synagogue or a menorah in Germany, there is the Holy Land, because culture moves. And in our model, the same thing happened with Lehi's family. They moved, and they were dispersed somewhere. And wherever they went, you will see that. And I think one of the places they went was Mesoamerica. And so you will see culture there. And I think that's one of the things that we encourage them to keep finding, because there is evidence of Book of Mormon-like culture in Mesoamerica. But that doesn't mean that's where it took place.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying there. Are you saying that you think that the Nephi and Lehi family probably landed in Baja, mm-hmm. and then may have spread to Mesoamerica? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we have 1,000 years of their history, and it appears that once they landed, that family and all their descendants kind of stayed together. But there's definitely evidence they started in the land of first inheritance. They went to a place they called the land of Nephi, and north of that, they went to the land of Zarahemla. North of that, Bountiful. North of that, they went on to Cumorah. And then at Cumorah, they had this big civil war, and the culture or their civilization was completely blown apart. Where did those descendants go after that period of time? Because that was around 400 AD, you know, until the Europeans got there in about 1600. You've still got, you know, 1,000 to 1,200 years. We believe they dispersed. The Lord said he was going to sweep them off their land because of what, you know, they'd become unrighteous. So where'd they go? And they would have taken culture, language, and writing, and even building styles and food and all sorts of things with them. And there's a great work done by Brian Stubbs that has followed the language of some of these people. There's a group of Native America called the Uto Aztecan people, identified by their language. And you can see how they have moved. And they ended up the Aztecs in Central America. And if that's who are the Book of Mormon people, that you'd see their culture, where they were found when the Europeans found them. But trace them back to where their language came from, and you'll find it's Southern California and Northern Baja. So, again, I think the Mesoamericans are really been doing a great job looking at things culturally, but it's the geography. And I think this realizing that culture moves, especially over time and with people as they're dispersed. Even our ancestors who came to Utah, they come from a European background and brought many cultures with us that you even find here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the things, and when you talk about geography, you got to enter time into it, and the movement of people and the interaction of people. And that's where my father, that was his emphasis, historical geography. So that's one of the premises that we start from, is focus on physical geography. That doesn't move. Culture, geography, interesting, but you got to apply time to it.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed our discussion with David Rosenvall. In our next discussion, we're going to talk about questions that critics of the Book of Mormon have. If the Baja Peninsula is where the Book of Mormon took place, how did Moroni get the plates clear up to New York?
Well, if you want to break it down per year, it's about the distance from Provo to Ogden every year that Moroni would have had to travel with these plates. We don't know. We have one kind of point that's kind of interesting. Manti, Utah is a place that Brigham Young states that Moroni dedicated the temple site. And if you go down there, there's a statue and Moroni's there dedicating. So you can see if one started in Baja and had to get to New York in 36 years, one could easily take that path. So our theory isn't so much about two Cumorahs, it's about two hills. One in the text called the Hill Cumorah, and one where Joseph Smith got the plates called the Hill North of Manchester.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.